Study 5. Talking to God. You should by now have worked through Study 5 yourself in your workbook. And for this talk, please have your workbook open to page 52. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, there are many excellent passages in the Bible that teach us about prayer, and this one from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, is one of the best. It comes towards the end of Philippians as one of a series of commands, exhortations, and encouragements about a variety of subjects, and it's one of those passages that doesn't really depend a great deal on the context for its meaning. It's helpful to note, however, that the letter was written to a church undergoing some degree of suffering, and written by an apostle who is at the time in prison. Suffering is part of our calling as Christians, as we're told in chapter 1, verse 29 of Philippians, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him." And so suffering lies to some extent behind the letter and behind the passage we have here. In terms of the meaning of words, there aren't any really difficult ones. Petition means simply to ask someone for something. In this context, it doesn't mean gathering signatures like it often does in our modern usage. The word peace is also being used slightly differently here to how we often use it today, but we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Let's turn to question one. What are we to be anxious about? The answer is nothing. We are not to be anxious about anything. But notice that the alternative to anxiety is prayer. The world has all sorts of ways of trying to deal with anxiety and pressure and worries. It turns to alcohol, or to gambling, or sport, or shopping, perhaps. But the Christian response is prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So, what are we to pray about? Everything. There's no limitation. To whom are we to present our requests? To God, the one who is in control of everything. The Think It Through section gives people a chance to reflect on this. There may be a whole range of things that the person is concerned about, and it may not even have occurred to them to raise these with God in prayer. They may think their problems are too big and difficult to solve, or perhaps that they're too small to bring before God to bother him with. Or they may think that God is not interested in their concerns. This is a chance for people to think through the Bible's teaching that we have free and unhindered access to God to talk about whatever concerns we have, large or small, and that it's a perfectly right response to be praying to God about anything and everything. Question 4 is another comprehension question. In what way should we present our requests to God? And the passage tells us it's with thanksgiving. The next 3 questions give people a chance to think through the many things we can thank God for, and most especially for the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on our behalf, the new life we now have in Christ, the scriptures which are able to make us wise for salvation, and so on. There are countless things for which we can be thankful. And we will always have cause for thanksgiving to God, because we will always be able to thank him for the salvation he's provided in Christ, and the assurance that no matter what our present difficulties, God knows how to take care of us, even beyond the grave. Question 5. Does God promise to give us everything we ask for? Our response to suffering and the worries of the world is prayer. God's response is to give us what we ask for. Is this what the passage says? No, it's not what the passage says. God is not promising in this verse to give us everything we ask for. And if you examine the rest of the Bible, you'll find the same thing. God does not promise to give us everything in prayer. Well, what is promised in verse 7? Our first reaction is often to say the peace of God. Many Christians think that this passage is saying that in response to our prayers, the peace of God will come upon us, and that the feeling of anxiety will be replaced by a feeling of peace. But this is not actually what the passage is saying. Look again at what the passage actually says. It says that our hearts and minds will be guarded in Christ Jesus by the peace of God. That is, the peace of God will guard and keep you as a Christian. The cause of anxiety may well remain, the problem may not disappear, but it won't take you out of Christ. Our problem is that we misunderstand the word peace. We think that it means simply an absence of trouble. And in the context of anxiety and prayer, We then think of peace as being a feeling of calm and tranquility that comes over us. But the biblical idea of peace is much more relational and more about victory. For you can only have true peace when you've won the war. So in the Second World War, was France at peace when it was defeated and occupied by Germany? Well, no. It was only at peace when it was liberated and the victory over the occupying force was won. The peace of God is the victory of God in Christ, won on the cross. It is the gospel of peace whereby evil has been defeated and disarmed, and that peace will keep you, will guard you in Christ Jesus. Knowing the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus and being kept in him by that victory, we may well have a greater sense of calm in times of trouble, and especially in times of persecution, because you don't need to worry that they will drive you away from Christ, that they will be able to torture you out of being a Christian. Just make your requests known to God, and God's victory, God's peace won on the cross, will keep you in Christ. A very good example of this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus tells his disciples to watch and pray that they will not enter into temptation, and they all fall asleep, of course. Jesus keeps watching and praying, and when the time of temptation comes, in the form of Judas turning up with a bunch of soldiers to arrest him, Jesus stands firm because he has watched and prayed. Whereas the disciples, they all flee, they all fall into temptation. That is, prayer will actually strengthen you to go through the situation Christianly, but it may not remove the situation, it may not remove the source of the problem. Jesus prayed that he might not have to die, and yet he did die. The perfect man praying perfectly to his Father, and the answer was still no. So, thinking it through, what will it mean to have the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? It means the worries of this world will not tear us away from Christ. It means that we can be confident in God, that our hearts and minds will stay with him because of the peace he has won, the peace we now enjoy with him as our Lord. The next question, how can this help you when you're anxious or struggling as a Christian? It gives us confidence in the face of difficulty because it puts everything into perspective. There are many things which will cause us trouble and difficulty and anxiety, but they're not of ultimate significance. And the thing which is of ultimate significance, our relationship with God, is being guarded for us by the victory of Christ won on the cross. There are a number of other passages listed which talk about prayer, especially Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. If time permits, it's worth having a look at these extra passages with the person you're following up. The final think-it-through questions then give you a chance to talk about some of the practicalities of prayer. Does the person feel free to talk to God about concerns and issues in their life, whether big or small? Does the person find the whole activity of praying difficult? For some people, prayer is the most natural of activities, and some new Christians take to it like ducks to water. For others, prayer is quite awkward, and it just seems like they're talking to themselves. Some new Christians might think they need to pray in a very formal language or use special words. They might need to be reassured that they can speak to God in everyday language. Some will find it hard to stay focused while praying or may not know what to pray for, and you might be able to suggest some practical solutions, such as writing a short list of people and things to pray for. Others might need to be more disciplined in setting aside time to pray on a regular basis. All these are worth talking about to make sure that the difficulties of prayer don't distract people from the enormous comfort and privilege we have in being able to present our requests to God.